Once in a while, when I'm thinking about a speaker for the Chi Mission Clinic, I take a chance. And I did this time. I saw this man's books at the convention. His booth was right beside the Chi Mission booth. He wasn't there. He had some kind of substitute running the booth. But I got to reading his books, his workbooks. He has a big display up here on them. Pay for them when you get them. And I've been using some of his workbooks in my Sunday night classes at my church down at Broken Bow at Lakeside Christian Church. And I improve them a little bit. And you can do that to his stuff. He doesn't mind. You can make it better. I kind of split it up a little bit on Sunday night, and I divide my little group into smaller groups, and I say, now this group over here takes questions 1 through 5, and this group over here takes questions 6 through 10. This group over here takes the rest of the questions. And when you answer them, then we come back together, and each group has a spokesman and can come back and study together. And this has really worked good for something a little different as a Bible study on Sunday night. And his books help you to get ready for that without having to spend a lot of time of your own studying that out. So he has a lot of good books up there, and he brought a lot of them with him. And so I'm pushing him because you need that kind of help, and I do too. James Spinotti has an interesting background. We're just now getting acquainted. I invited him, didn't even know him. I invited him just because we had read some of his books, and also because there was some guys that wrote some of the foreword to those books that coached him through the Christian church, and so I felt like I was safe there. But I'm getting acquainted with Jim, and I wish we had more time, partially because we are near brother-in-laws. Didn't know that. He married a Starbuck. And we are related. Way back yonder in Nantucket Island with the Starbuck and the Macy family founded Nantucket Island. There's mansions still on Nantucket Island. I'm going to try to find out which one's in my name. I've learned also that by talking to some of the Macy family on the internet that our families, Starbuck family and the Macy family, have intermarried 14 times. So you know what happened to me down the line someplace along there. So probably the best thing that I can say about Jim is that he married a Starbuck girl, and he probably needed her. He told me she became a believer before he did and was baptized into Christ before he was, and she was afraid to tell him that she had become a Christian. You know why? He was in the mafia. He didn't become a believer and a Christian until he was in mid-30s. He worked as the man that went out and collected for the mafia. He was the one that stuck that .45 down their throat and said, you will pay up. God can really work miracles, can he? Change this man. So I want you to hear him. I've asked him to speak and tell us that we need to get into the Word of God more. And he's going to do that right now. James, come to the platform. Let's welcome this man, changed by God in a wonderful way.
Told me to say something about my life, and the Lord is great, isn't he not? He's tremendous. I mean, to think where you come from and where you are now, and to dream 20-some years ago that I'd be on this pulpit, or any pulpit, except in the pulpit, is unbelievable. But God does a lot for you. Put a hit out on this. That it? I think we're on.
Okay, let's do this so we don't get...
Okay.
Try it out.
All right. All right, we're live. We're on fire, right? Only could happen to me, amen? I got to stay away from that. I got to stay away from that, too. We're not on again, huh? You on? Am I all right? All right. Oh, man. Can I walk over here? I'm a walker. All right, we ready? We on? All right. What happened is I married a Starbuck, and it ends up being the best thing that ever happened to me, you know, and, of course, he'll agree to that. But my wife would not convert to Catholicism. I was a Catholic for 32 years. Doing the things that I was doing, my grandfather never spoke a word of English. Come over in 1917 to America. Him and Al Capone used to run liquor from Chicago, and my grandfather, they run the trucks down south. If you heard of the Bonanno family, that's my family, the Crescentis, the Guigenis. They're all intermarried, married my father's sisters. My dad wanted to keep us out of it, and he'd about beat us half to death, but my uncles were always throwing money to us, see? And so that's how I got started into it. And come along, and I married Judy, and she wouldn't convert to Catholicism, so I was worried about her getting in some weirdo outfit. You know, I didn't know any Bible at all, but I was worried about her handstand a pew somewhere. And so a guy come up to me one day, and they never hardly talked to me because I cuss them out. You know, they were scared of me. But he came up and he said, we're having a revival. He said, would you come? And I said, yeah, he about passed out. And so we went to the revival, and you know how the Church of Christ is. A half hour before, there's nobody there. Amen? I pull in the parking lot. There's one car there. And nobody's around, and so I said, well, we're in the wrong place. So I begin to leave, and here comes a little fat guy out of the building, and he's waving his hands and yelling. I start laughing. Judy said, what you laughing about? I said, well, he looks like the Maytag repairman. We better stay. He's the loneliest guy in town. And so we go in there, and the guy that's preaching is Ed Bousman. That's culture shock, folks. And then they began to sing, and I said, you know, and they sang, and they sang, and I said, I didn't come here to join a choir, you know. And Bousman was flying some paper airplanes around. I said, this guy's out of his skull. I mean, he's nuttier fruitcake, man. And so we left there, and they tell Ed, they said, Ed, there's that mafia boy back there, you know. And Ed remembered that all the time. Ed's my father in the faith, in case you didn't know it. He's really blessed my life in so many, many ways. So you know where I've come from. But my wife said, well, I'd like to go back and hear that young preacher that's there. And so she went back, and I keep going to the Catholic Church. Of course, I'd go out and then, you know, and go up and take the Lord's Supper or whatever, you know, the communion. And then me and the priest would go to the bar and drink all afternoon. The worst thing about it, he made me pay. Well, as we came along, finally I started doing something that you need to do. And if you're not doing that, you need to get into the Bible. I'd never read the Bible before. I went to Catholic Church all those years and never read the Bible. I didn't know one Bible verse, but I knew, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, blessed fruit of your womb. Jesus, Hail Mary, Mother God, pray for us sinners now and time of our death. But I didn't even know John 3:16. So I began to read the Bible. And as I read the Bible, I saw where they were at. It's wrong. It's out of sight. It's in the wrong place. And my wife would start reading, and I kept on reading, and she was immersed in the Christ. But before she was, she said that the preachers want to come and see you. I said, where do you want the new door? She said, what? I said, where do you want the new door? You pick a place out there, and he's going through it. And she told that preacher, said, don't get near him, Because you get near him, he's gone. And he said he might kill you to boot. So I began reading the Bible, and I saw where I was. And when I got to, you know, Matthew 23:9, call no man father. I saw that. I saw 1 Timothy 3 where you had to be married to be a bishop, have children. That blew my mind. But I'll tell you the one that got me in 1 Timothy 4 chapter and said, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and things taught by demons. They'll forbid to marry and eat certain meats that God put upon this earth to be partaken with thanksgiving and with prayer. And I've been eating fish on Friday for 32 years. And so I knew what I had to do, but I knew I was fighting a problem here because I was going to fight the thing, because what am I going to do to get out of this thing? If I become a Christian, I've got to leave this lifestyle, leave where I'm at. And I knew also that I would be disinherited. I knew what would happen. And so there was an inner fight, but when you see what you need to do, you do it. And so I didn't know you could be, and nobody came to teach me. I was kind of one through the book, and that's why I believe in the book. I believe in the Bible, and I believe that's what we need to be talking about. Instead of everything else, we talk about all the things that shouldn't be talked about, or it's okay to talk about, but if the Bible's not in the number one place, then we're in the wrong business. We're in the wrong place, brothers, and we need to stand on the Word of God. We need to be back where we used to be, the men of the book, chapter, and verse, instead of everything else we've got going on in this life. And so I went to that assembly, and I didn't know you could go, you know, you could be immersed any time. And then a guy's preaching. I said, well, I'm thinking, why don't you shut up so I can do what I need to do? And so at that end, I went forward, was immersed into Christ. Then I had to go to the Godfathers. I told them all about Jesus Christ. I was disinherited from my family. My brothers have never heard me preach. My sister had never heard me preach. And I tell you what, guys, for 21 years, they never came. But last year, I was preaching in a park up in Lima, Ohio. I saw a van come around the corner. It's my dad. And my mom, and it blew my mind. Don't ever give up, don't ever give in, and don't ever give out. Stand for the truth, because you can't win anybody by giving in to anything. And so my dad came to hear me preach for the first time. What a blessing it was in my life. I want you to turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 5, the Lord has blessed my life. Like I said, how am I here? I don't know, except by the grace of God is the only reason I'm here. 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman, verse 1, now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man and his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of the Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. He's used to leading things in this life. But on that trip, Naaman's not in front of his troops, he's behind his troops. Naaman is not in preeminence there, he's behind his troops. Naaman has leprosy. And brothers, this is a picture of the world that we live in right now. A world that has leprosy, that has sin in their life. And we are the only ones that's going to make a difference in this life. We're the light of the world right now. Not sometime later, guys. It's right now. We need to get on the ball. If they don't hear it from us, they're not going to hear it. Well, nobody wants to hear it anymore. Hey, we baptized 9 into Christ since January. 9. Well, they just don't want to hear it. Yeah, they don't want to hear it because you don't want to go out and spread the gospel. They will hear it. People are dying lost. They don't have anything in their life, and they need to hear it. They need to hear the Word of God. And the only one thing that's going to win anybody is this book. It's not going to be anything else. It's not going to be pizza parties. There's not going to be skating parties. There's not going to be anything except the Word of God. We need to get on the ball, get back in the Word, and start studying the Word again, start preaching the Word, and we'll win people to Christ. Now look what happens. Verse 3. And he said unto his mistress, would God my Lord have been with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She said, boy, there's somebody over there, there in Israel, can take care of his leprosy. I don't know about you, but I often thought about this. If that was me and I was taken captive out of my own hometown, I'm put in there to serve somebody that I don't even care about. You know what I'd say when he had leprosy? I hope that sucker dies. I hope he goes down. I don't care anything about him. I hope he dies. But here she is. She has the mind of God. And she said, why, there's a prophet over in Israel. Go over there and he'll take care of you. Now look what, and one went in and told his Lord that, saying, you know, you go into the land of Israel, and there it is. Verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto them to recover of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me. It amazes me. But he went to the wrong man. Went to the wrong person. How many people do you know is going to the wrong person? When you talk to them about the Lord and you open up the Word of God, they say, first of all, well, my great-grandmother never was baptized. Going to the wrong person. Going to the King of Israel. King of Israel can't do anything for anybody. Only one's going to do anything is Jesus Christ, people. And when I talk to somebody and I like to get in those conversations, and you know who comes up more than anybody? Fifi. The thief on the cross. Well, the thief didn't have to be immersed. Oh, Fifi. He comes up more than Jesus. Now, I want to picture you this. I want you to picture this. There's three crosses. Three crosses back here. And we're going to find out what to do to be saved. And I'm going to go up the cross. Hey, thief. Hey, thief. Shut up, Jesus. You be quiet, Jesus. Thief, what do you have to do to be saved? You're going to the wrong person. The only one's going to tell us how to be saved is Jesus Christ. It's only going to happen that way. Why is everybody going to the wrong person? My uncle said this. My grandmother said this. The preacher down the block said this. Why don't we go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about being saved, about being blessed, about being immersed into Christ, about rising and walking in the newness of life? Why don't we go back to the Word of God, people? Went to the wrong person. And look what the king said. He said, am I God? I wish the denominational preachers would say that. Am I God to change the plan of salvation? Am I God that I can give you the sinner's prayer? I was sitting in the house of Rick Warner, a friend of mine, and Baptist preacher came to the door. And Rick said, as a Baptist preacher, I said, don't tell him who I am. And so he came in and he started talking about the Bible, and he said, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. And he didn't have a Bible. You can guess why. And I said, you got a Bible, Rick? I got Rick's Bible. I gave him the Bible. I said, show me where that's at. He said, I said, come on, man. I want to know. Man, if this is Bible, I want to know Bible, don't you? Show me where that's at. He said, I don't think it's in there. Well, if it isn't in there, why are you telling this guy this is how he has to be saved? It's not in there, folks. Now, you may not like it, and I really don't care. I really could care less. You get mad, sad, or glad. This is Bible. I go to some revivals, and they ain't had any Bible in so long, it's pitiful. And when I begin to preach, they get mad. I don't care if you get mad, sad, or glad, because I'd rather have you get mad here. There's no difference. It's not going to change for anybody. Look what happens here. He goes to the wrong person. He said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray ye, that he seeketh a quarrel against me. He said, he thinks a quarrel against me. Now look what happens. Verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had tore his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horse and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now look what happened. What's he come with? He come with a bunch of clothes, a bunch of money. You can't buy salvation. No matter how much money you got, no matter what position you have, no matter where you are in the word of in this world, you are not going to get to heaven except by Jesus Christ. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're ever going to get there. He came in front of there and expected to buy. You're not going to buy it. Now look what he says. Naaman came with his chariot and the horses, and he stood at the door of Elijah. Verse 10. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I like Elijah. Elijah was watching NASCAR. He's sitting there, and he's watching NASCAR. And servant comes to him and say, hey, say, Naaman's outside. Yeah, let me get this big wreck they just had. Go tell him 7 times in the dip 7 times in the River Jordan, he'll come back clean. Well, aren't you going to go? No, I'm not going to go. You see, it's the word, it's not the person. It's not the man that changes anybody. It's the word that changes somebody. It's the word that makes the difference. It's the thing that's going to change your life, not anything else. And that's why we need to get back into the Word, people. People in the book, chapter, and verse, that was us. Now look what happened. Now he says go. Now I want you to get this, because this is good. Go, wash, and you dip 7 times. You know, that sounds a lot like Mark 16:15-16, doesn't it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Right? Okay, now let's take the denominational point of view on this. Well, he didn't say, if you don't go and you don't dip 7 times in the River Jordan, you won't be clean. Now listen to that, guys. If you don't go, are you going to dip? And if you don't believe, are you going to be baptized? Absolutely not. So you take that kind of scenario and you put it in here and you messed it up. Go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He gives a command and a promise, just like Acts 2:38. His old brother Ed said, well, I'll tell you, Godfather. He always calls me Godfather. He said, Godfather? He said, what's the matter with these people? They don't know Acts 2:38. And I said, well, they will hit if they ever listen to you, because you're going to bring it every time. Go and dip seven times in the River Jordan, you come back clean. And Naaman, in verse 11, was mad. He got mad and went away. Now, I like Elijah. Now, he ran after him, didn't he? Hey, Naaman, hey, come back here. Hey, come back here, Naaman. I know you're an important man. Wait a second, Naaman. You got mad? How about if you dip six times, Naaman? Did that make you happy? Wait a second, Naaman. How about five? Five? It'd be all right. Naaman, how about four? Well, wait a second, Naaman. Three. How about two, Naaman? I'll tell you what, Naaman. How about if I dip for you? We preachers spend more time chasing the duds than winning people. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't shake your hand. I had a guy Sunday. In fact, that's what I preached. We're on a 100,000-watt radio station on Sunday. And I preached that, you know, about people that's not friendly. And they'll sit in the pew and then say, ain't nobody talking to me. Nobody likes me. There's nobody friendly. Well, you're not friendly. You don't get up. And the guy that it hit, you throw a brick and the dog will yell. I'm outside and he comes to me and the first thing he says is, I'm really friendly. That's what he said. Guess what? Guilty is sin. Get your act together. Get your act together, people. Amen? You throw that rock and do that. You don't run after them. We spend more time chasing the duds than winning the people. All right, now, this is what we do. If you want to be a dud and you want to go to hell, go to hell. Amen. You just go on to hell because, listen, guys, I can't win you. I can't make you obey the gospel. I can present the gospel to you, but you have to do it yourself. Amen. Now, I can't get anybody to heaven except by I'm going to preach everything I can, go after everybody I can, be in loving as everybody can, stick a gun down their throat as everybody. No, I'm not going to do that. But you need to leave the duds sit in the pew and you need to go out and get some live meat. That's what I've been doing. I'm going out and getting people who want to hear the gospel, that want to have a Bible study. We have a Bible study in a house. I started with one person. And last Monday we had 22. 22. Are there 22 church people? No, 22 lost people. You understand that? 22 people need the gospel. Well, I mean, you don't have to have a right to hear it the second time until somebody's heard it the first. We hear that preached all the time. He didn't chase after him. He sat there. And Naaman said, I thought. Yeah, I thought. That's what people do. That's the way I did. I think I'm all right. I'm out drinking, carousing, and beating up people. Hey, I'm all right. I'm okay. You're okay. That's what Noah said when he got into the ark. He stood at the door of the ark and said, everybody's going to be happy today. You're okay. I'm okay. Everything's all right. He said, I thought. You see, in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, the Bible says, your thoughts, God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. It doesn't matter a lick what Jim Spinotti thinks. It doesn't matter a lick what you think. It only matters what God says. We're going to be judged not for what we think, but for what God says. He said the books are going to be opened and another book's going to be opened, which is the book of life. And we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God and answer for what was written in the books. Truth is not determined by 7 out of 10 in your congregation. Well, we don't know what to do. Let's vote on it. It's not going to be 7 out of 10 in your congregation. It's only through the Word of God that we're going to stand. Now look what he does. He said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. It sounds like Benny Hinn, doesn't it? The Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit of God. Then you know, he blows on them and they all fall down. It's a bad case of bad breath, folks. It's a terrible case of bad breath. The Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit of God. Take up another collection. The Spirit is here. He said, I thought he would come and stand over me and call on the name of his Lord. You see, Elijah's still in the house, still watching NASCAR, still watching Earnhardt falling back after the wreck. He said, I ain't leaving this till it's over. You're only going to have the Word of God. It's going to change your life. Thank God that Word came to me, and read that word. You know, it's hard to believe, like I said, that I'm here. I preach in like 28 states now. I think 20-some foreign countries. A nobody. A nobody. That's what God can do. And I believe the only thing's holding back the church is not God, it's the church. We're not doing what we should be doing, not because we don't have the power to do it, not because we don't have the knowledge to do it, but because we don't believe we can do it. You take an elephant in a circus. Why and that stake's out there. Can he pull out that stake? Well, absolutely he can pull out the stake. Why don't he pull out the stake? Because he don't believe he can. And why don't he believe he can? Because when he was little, they tied him to a tree, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled. And now that he's grown, he doesn't think he can do it anymore. And we don't believe we can do it anymore. The Church of Christ is the answer for this world. And we have the answer, but we got to get our act together. Look what he says then. I like what he says now. He's going to give God a choice. You know, first he thinks, and then he says, are not, in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he went and turned away, and he went in a rage. He said, what the way? I ain't got to go back to the River Jordan. That's a dirty river. I mean, where I live, look at the great rivers, and I can wash in there, and surely be there. You know, I think that's where, that's where sprinkling came in. Yeah, one of the popes. Somebody laying there, he said, well, this would be a little bit easier. So he does that. Aren't sprinkling and pouring just as good as immersion? Well, I got to thinking, and I got one better for them. Why should I get my hands wet? Right? If I'm going to sprinkle somebody, I'll just shoot them. And you can get good, see? And you see, the whole thing is style points. Now, you hold up and when I get a 9.9 or a 10, and see, I could go across the stage and whoop it on there like that, like that. I could hit them like that. I think I'll do that. You know, I got a better idea, just like Naaman had. In fact, guys, I'll tell you what. I read in the paper one time where they took a bunch of people out and got near a fire truck and they hosed them down. You don't have a better idea than God. If you think you do, you better shove it back there in the file section. You don't have a better idea than God. God has the idea, and the only one. He said, aren't I bad at far, far better rivers than the waters of Israel? Oh, man. You know, when we read Acts 2:38, He talked about Jesus and about the death of Christ, and they stopped the sermon right there and said, "Me and brother, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repeat after me. I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I accept him into my heart." Did he say that, fellas? If he didn't say it then, he's not saying it now. You listening to me? If somebody wasn't saved by it then, they're not saved by it now. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. He went away and was mad. And his servants came near to him and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bidden thee to do something great, something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. And Naaman went down and he dipped in the river Jordan. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven times, as the word of God said. And Elijah was sitting up there, and he just turned off the tube and found Gordon One again. And he said, "What's this I hear?" He said, "I hear something down the river." "What is that? It's somebody singing." And he put his ear to the window. And he could hear, dippity-doo-da, dippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Dippity-doo-da, dippity-ay. If we want to sing the song of a glorious day, if we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, then we're going to do things his way and not our way. We're going to get back into the Bible. And I love the singing to death. I love the singing last night. But he said it's through the preaching of Christ that those are going to be saved. It's through the word of God. And you can have all the programs you want, but if you don't have the word of God, they're absolutely nothing. You can have all the activities that you want, but if you don't have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's worthless. Brothers, we need to get back into the Word. We need to stand on the truth. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." John 8:32, "You shall know the truth." And it's the truth that'll set you free. Martin Luther King didn't have a thing. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.